Welcome to CCF Church Online. My name is Rick. I get to be the lead pastor here. And on this Mother's Day, we want to celebrate you moms. We really do. We're so thankful for the way that you sacrificially love your families, the way that you put your kids first, your husbands first. Thank you for the way that you just model living a life of sacrificial love. And moms, we celebrate you. We really do. We're so thankful for all that you have done. And we want you to know that today really is a day that we want to honor you. But we also know that Mother's Day can be a day where it can create some sadness, because maybe this is your first Mother's Day without your mom being here. And we want to be sensitive to that and understand that. In fact, we want to pray for you in just a moment. And then there are some who are listening, and you are feeling kind of sad because it was your hope that you were going to be a mother. And so there's that, sometimes that kind of tension. We want to pray for you this morning as well. And then there are others who, on Mother's Day, it's awkward for you because for you and your mom, there's some kind of tension there. Well, we want to lift you up in prayer today, too. And so will you just bow your heads with me wherever you are and just receive this prayer. Father, we come to you this morning, and God, we are praying for whatever somebody is working through, processing. We want to celebrate all those moms and just say thank you for how so many of them live a life of sacrificial love, just like you lived for us, Jesus. And so we say thank you, and we celebrate our moms. And then there are some people who are just down today. God, we're praying that you're going to be the God of all comfort. And whether that's because this is, they're just missing their mom because their mom has passed, or maybe they're down because they've been hoping that they could be a mom. Father, I pray that you would just show up in their lives right now and be that God who gives all comfort. And Jesus, we're praying for those relationships children have, or adult children have with their moms, and there, it may be strained a little bit. We're praying that you'll restore those relationships, and that today, on this Mother's Day, that it really could be a great day, because they've, no matter where someone has found themselves in their relationship with their mom, they're just giving it all back to you, trusting that you will bring restoration. Please, we pray this, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Amen. Well, we want to jump right into our teaching today, and what we're continuing, life-giving words, the words of Jesus. And again, we keep on coming back to the actual words of Jesus, because we know that he gives life-giving words. And he not only gives life-giving words, but he calls us to align our life in the way that he has asked us to live, because that's life-giving. And you and I could experience this kind of life giving. So here, I want you to listen to these words that are life-giving today. And these are the actual words of Jesus, penned by an eyewitness. And he says, no, these are the words of Jesus, no, not seven times, but 70 times seven. Now, I know some of you are thinking, what's life-giving about that? Well, here's why this is life-giving, because this is actually around the idea of forgiveness. In fact, no, not seven, but 70 times seven is actually a response to this question that he was asked. How often should I forgive someone who sins against me? And here's our bottom line today. Forgiveness isn't always fair, but it's always what's best. Now, we're going to unpack that today, but I just want you to think about this. I want you to think about that forgiveness isn't, it's not fair. And if you've been there, we've all been there, where forgiveness isn't fair, but it is always what's best. It's best for your psyche. It's best for your emotional and mental health. It's what's best for your spiritual life. It's also what's best for your physical life. In fact, I want to read to you what Dr. Karen Swartz had to say. She's from Johns Hopkins Hospital. And she says, there's an enormous physical burden to being hurt and disappointed. Chronic angers puts you in a fight or flight mode, which results in numerous changes in heart rate, blood pressure, and immune response. Those changes then increase the risk of depression, heart disease, and diabetes, among other conditions. Forgiveness, however, now this is from the doctor. She says, forgiveness, however, calms stress levels, leading to improved health. And then from the Mayo Clinic, here's what they had published an article saying, letting go of grudges and bitterness can make way for improved health and peace of mind. Forgiveness, again, this is from Mayo Clinic, not the Bible. Forgiveness can lead to healthier relationships, improved mental health, less anxiety, stress, and hostility. You want to lower the stress levels in your life? Live a life of forgiveness. Lower blood pressure, fewer symptoms of depression, a stronger immune system, improved heart health, and improved self-esteem. So we see that not only is it good for your physical health, but what we're going to see in the scriptures is that it's good also for your spiritual life. And Jesus calls us to live. That's why this is a life-giving, that these are life-giving words, because it just makes your life better if we'll live like Jesus calls us to live. So take your Bibles wherever you are. It's Matthew chapter 18 is where we're going to unpack this whole idea from. So Matthew chapter 18 and verse number 21. It was Peter who asked the question. So then Peter came to him and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? Seven times? And don't you love that Peter's asking the question, how many times do I need to forgive somebody else? Because he already knows how many times he wants someone to forgive him. You know, in the theological words of and theologian of Buzz Lightyear, to infinity and beyond, right? Isn't that how many times that we want others to forgive us? You know, like, forever. But he's asking, how many times do I have to forgive somebody else? And what he says here, he thinks he's being generous. He throws out this number seven times, thinking that's a really generous number. Because in their culture at that time, among the Pharisees and the religious leaders, there was this idea that you were required to forgive somebody three times. So he doubles it and adds one, thinking this is a big number. But then Jesus comes back with these life-giving words. No, not seven times, but 70 times seven. So you may be there thinking, so I need to forgive somebody 490 times. You might be thinking Jesus is looking at Peter and say, carry a notepad with you. And when somebody gets to the 491st time, you can cut them off. No. That's not what he's saying. He's using this as an illustration. He's using hyperbole to say that, no, you and I are called to live a life of forgiveness to infinity and beyond. That we are to just live our life like that, to lean into this and be a person who forgives others. Forgiveness isn't always fair, but it is what's always best. And Jesus modeled that. He would move around from one village to the other, offering a life of forgiveness for others. In fact, because he would say to some people, your sins are forgiven. Do you realize that that's what actually drove him to the cross? It was in his mind, he was going to the cross so that we could experience forgiveness. But the people who would hear those words, that infuriated them. And it drove them to push him to the cross and to actually nail him to the cross. So forgiveness, Jesus lived a life from that. And then remember, even while he was being crucified, going through that whole process, in Luke chapter 23, Jesus, these again are the very words of Jesus. And he says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. The first time that I realized that I could be forgiven was life transforming for me. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget when I heard those words that I could be forgiven. when I realized that I could somehow, all the guilt that I had piled up in my life could be lifted off of me, all of the shame that was piled up on me every night when I'd go to bed and I would think about all the people that I've hurt, when I would think about all the just the bad junk that I did to others, the things that I would do to other people's property, the things that I had did, I would go to bed with shame and guilt. And then somebody explained to me, you know, you could be right with God. Do you know that you don't have to carry your guilt? Do you know that you don't have to carry your shame? That if you would just bring that to Jesus, that he would actually forgive you. And I remember being able to go to bed for the first time without carrying that 1,000-pound weight of guilt and that 1,000-pound weight of shame. And it changed me. It transformed me into a new person. In fact, other people around me saw this difference in my life because I wasn't carrying that anymore. I wonder about you, because here's how the Apostle Paul, he points this out to us. He points that forgiveness always comes with a cost. You see, forgiveness comes with a cost because it means that you are going to have to give up your pride. It means that you're going to have to fill yourself with humility. It means you're going to have to go through the process of the pain to forgive somebody. And here's what the Apostle Paul told us about that. He said, he, meaning God is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom from the guilt, our freedom from our shame. He purchased our freedom with the blood of his son, Jesus, and forgave our sins. Do you know that you could go to bed tonight and be at peace with God? And you could be at peace with those around you, those that you have hurt. You don't have to carry that guilt and that shame anymore if you would just receive the forgiveness of God. If you're listening, no matter where you are, this may be a next step for you. It says, my first step is to accept the forgiveness that God offers. Today, I trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. Will you do that? Will you, on whatever platform, there's a link for a connection card, will you let us know? Or you can just put the word trust in the comment section of whatever platform. If that's easier, just put the word trust. And we have several volunteers who are monitoring the comments, and they will reach out to you and just gather your information so that we can get in contact with you and walk you through of what that looks like. Or if it's easier for you to text that word trust to 401-496-9710. The keyword again is trust. And when you get that reply, just click on that link in the reply and give us your contact information so that we can reach out to you and we can walk with you of what this looks like and what that means. I hope that you'll take that step. In fact, all forgiveness actually comes and starts and flows from the forgiveness that God has given us. Today, what we want to do next is we want to take a little bit of a turn, and I want you guys to hear from three different moms that I got to sit down with. And they talk through forgiveness and what it looks like as a wife, as a mom, as a daughter, to be able to live your life from this posture of forgiveness. And so I hope that you'll listen in and that you'll join us in this conversation and that you'll look for some helpful steps that they have to share with us that you'll be able to add or apply right to your life. So listen in. Well, we want to welcome this morning Lindsay with us. She's a mom with two kids, and she also happens to be a part of our staff. We're so thankful for Lindsay. And then we also have Melissa Mitchell. Melissa Mitchell used to be a part of our staff, and then now she is able to spend more time with her own children at home and has a full-time job doing that there. And we're so thankful for Melissa.
And then we also have with us one of our elders' wives, Mary Beth Podmoska. We're so glad that she is able to be here. And so we have moms at different stages of life. And what our hope is that you are going to be able to hear from them something that's going to help you. It's just going to be helpful as you hear from these moms. So welcome, moms. We're so glad that you guys are here with us today. And we're talking about forgiveness this morning. And my first question to you is that, moms, and I want you to filter this as a mom or a daughter, and that is, how has forgiveness played a role in your own life as a mom, a daughter, or maybe even a wife? Just share that with us, and I don't care who starts. Anybody can go.
I guess I can get started. Forgiveness is just, one of those foundational things of our faith. And I think if we don't really experience and believe God's own forgiveness of our sins, it's going to be very hard to forgive others. So I think that's just, for me, that's been so important to realize that I need to embrace God's forgiveness. And then it's easier for me to extend that to others. When I think back to my own childhood, there were some very hard things. And I had to work out as a young adult and still kind of have to work out, what does that mean to forgive? What does that mean to have a really good relationship, with people that you've had to forgive? And it doesn't mean that you let them mistreat you or the relationship, has to look the same as it once did, but to come to that point of forgiving. And sometimes that's an ongoing process. We have to keep working on that. It's not just kind of like, oh, I did that one day and it's done. A lot of times you have to keep on doing that.
Yeah, that's good. As you talk about that ongoing process, what would you say, or how, share with us about that ongoing process? Because it's not just a one and done type of thing. What has that looked like in your life?
I think if I find myself still having very strong emotions, whether it be sadness or anger, and it's not wrong to have those feelings at all, but if I feel that deeply, that means, okay, there's some more work that needs to be done. Whether it be, and it can't even sometimes happen with that person. Sometimes it's just between you and God. Sometimes that other person's not even in a place that you can talk to them about this. But I find if I'm feeling those strong emotions, once again, it's not bad. It's just an indication that there's more work that needs to be done, more processing.
Yeah, no, that's good. It's like the dash light on a board. Yeah. It's like,
yeah, it's there to help us. Yeah, those emotions are there to prompt us.
Yeah, good. That's good. Somebody else, I want to talk about that, how forgiveness has played a role in your own life as a wife, a mom, or a daughter.
Yeah, just to piggyback on what Melissa said, it's such a foundational part of our faith. When we put our faith in Jesus, we know that he has forgiven us, and he tells us right in scripture in several places that we need to forgive others. And so it can be very tough depending on the situation. I know for myself, growing up in a home with drug and alcohol abuse from my parents, they went through that. And so it's been a journey for me to go through that process of forgiveness for those things that have happened. And I do still have a great relationship with my parents, and especially my mom. She has gone through her own journey and had her own things come up in her life, and she still struggles through some of those things. And so as a daughter, it could have been very easy for me to just cut that relationship off, and even have been validated in doing that by those around me. But just knowing that the magnitude of sin in my own life, that I've gone through, and that Jesus has come alongside me and forgiven me for that, I need to extend that as best I can to my own mom and to, other people that have wronged me, if you want to put it that way. But just remembering that basic foundational forgiveness principle that Jesus first forgave us. And so it's the least we can do to extend that to other people, as hard as it might be.
Yeah. Mary Beth, do you have anything?
Yeah, in my growing up, it was, you know, a lot of my mother's mental illness and the way my father responded and all the kids that we had and everything growing up, it was very difficult too. And so I guess becoming an adult, becoming a Christian and realizing, you know, I want to have a good relationship when I get married. I don't want to carry this stuff in. Then I tried to work on it, you know, already back then, but it was a long process. Yeah. And it's hard to keep that resentment out. And especially if you keep getting hurt, you know, you have to keep forgiving and you have to keep going back and working it out. But so it does take a lot of working things out, taking it back to God and giving it to God and asking him to, you know, to help you to have that right relationship. And for me, it's about wanting to be, I want to be transformed into the woman of God that God wants me to be. And so I do these, you know, I want to be obedient to God in these steps that he's asked us to take, like to love others the way he's loved us, you know. And so that's why I want to work on it all the time, keep bringing it back to him, because you know, because I want to be the way he wants me to be. I want to be like him. And
well, that's good, Mary Beth. How, and this is up for anybody, not just Mary Beth, but how has living that life of forgiveness helped you to be a better mom or a better daughter or a better wife?
I think any time that God wants us to do something, there's reasons for it. And it's actually for my benefit. I mean, it brings him glory, but it's also for my benefit to forgive. Mm-hmm. I'm going to live a better, healthier life if I'm able to forgive. I mean, obviously the people I'm forgiving benefit, but I benefit as well. I don't have that, those deep, hard feelings inside of me, those feelings of anger and resentment. So everyone wins. God gets the glory, and it just makes it easier to extend forgiveness. I think as a mother, you know, there's a lot of like those little pebbles in the shoe kind of thing that happens all day long with kids who keep forgetting or keep, you know, doing those same things that are irritating. And I need to keep just forgiving, because I also do things all the time to others and also to the Lord that I kind of know I shouldn't be doing, but I still do. And I need to extend that same forgiveness.
Yeah, that's good. Anybody else?
I know for me, before I had kids, I used to want to be a mom simply so I could give my kids what I didn't have when I was growing up, and give them a, you know, a great Christian upbringing, you know, and, you know, and so I would live a little bit out of spite. This is before I had kids. And then when I had kids, I realized I can't just live in what I wish I had. I need to just do what God is calling me to do. I need to parent my kids the way that God is calling me to parent my kids, and not living out of what I wanted or felt that I missed out on. And so just living in that obedience to God and doing what he wants and forgiving those that he wants me to forgive, just to have that, you know, remember that he wants me to do what he wants me to do, not what other people do.
That's good. Not living out of spite. That's really good. Well, so as we wrap up, could you, as you guys leave, could you just share with us one or two just practical steps for moms out there when it comes to dealing with forgiveness? Do you have one or two things that, hey, if you don't hear anything else, hear this one thing? Does anybody have anything like that?
Well, 1 Peter 3 talks about don't give back evil for evil or insult for insult, but to pray and to do good. And one thing I found is that when you pray and you give that to God, then you need to fill that space, like you were talking about last week. You get it could be a gap, and you don't want the gap to get bigger. So even if the other person doesn't want to be a part of this relationship, or but to pray for them and then to fill that gap with good, do something good for them, you know, replace good for evil. It could just be a kind word, it could be a note, it could just in your own thoughts, thinking good thoughts about that person instead of rehashing the bad thoughts and keep putting another log on the fire every time you rehash it and think about it. You know, you want to put that fire out. And so that's one practical thing that I found that's very helpful to get me off that track, or that negative track, you know, and to help me be something positive, even if it's only on my own side, you know.
That's good. That's good. Thank you. Anybody else?
When Mary Beth mentioned logs on the fire, and we talk about that a lot in our household as well, but just a visual that works for me. I remember years ago hearing about like unconfessed sin between us and God. Basically, you're not experiencing his forgiveness. I mean, is like building walls, like, you know, so it's like you're putting a brick and you're building this wall. And it's the same thing with our spouse, family members, our children. If we're not forgiving, it's like we're building walls between us, as opposed to, you know, experiencing that free exchange of love and forgiveness and grace. So that's a good visual for me, is to think about, do I want to build a wall, or, you know, do I want to have the walls broken down and have that free exchange of love and forgiveness? And so that's something that kind of helps me.
That's very helpful. Thank you. Thank you. Lindsay?
I think one thing that's important to remember too is to forgive yourself. Mm. We all come to the table with all kinds of baggage, and that leads us to do different things. I know for me, I tend to get angry easily, and that can come out towards my kids and my husband. And but I need to forgive myself for those shortcomings and ask for forgiveness as well. And that helps to break down those walls, just like Melissa was saying.
Yeah, no, that's
verse. One more thing, another verse that comes to my mind a lot is love covers a multitude of wrongdoing. And just like Jesus covered us, you know, a lot of wrongdoing with his love, then that's what we should do. And it feels good when somebody does that for us too, like lets us off the hook for what we've done wrong and covers our mistakes with love. So it's just a nice simple thing that you can bring to your mind quickly about, you know, how to help that situation.
That's right. That's very good. Hey, moms, thank you guys so much. And I mean that. I really mean that. Thank you for, one, just being the moms that you guys are. I know all three of you, and I know all three of your kids. And I know that you do live from this posture of forgiveness, but of love, and that love does cover a multitude of sins. So thank you guys for being here with us. And thank you for helping all the other moms, but not just the moms, because this was good stuff for us dads too. So thanks so much. And hopefully we'll be able to see each other live in an person soon, we're hoping.
Well, I hope that was helpful for you. And I really think that I know that there were some real helpful steps that maybe some of you need to take. And you know what? You don't have to be a mom to have heard some helpful steps for you to be able to apply to your life so that you can live a life of forgiveness as well. Well, today I want to wrap this up really quickly, because back in our text, back in Matthew 18, after Jesus gives us these life-giving words about 70 times 7, then he goes in to tell this story. So to illustrate his point of how we are to forgive, or how we are to release people. And so real quickly here, it says, therefore, this is his story that Jesus tells. He just makes up this illustration. He says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with servants who had borrowed money from him. In the process, one of the debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. He couldn't pay, so his master ordered that he be sold along with his wife, his children, and everything they owed to pay the debt. But the man fell down before his master, or the king, and he begged him, please be patient with me and I will pay it all. And then his master, or the king, was filled with pity for him, and he released him and he forgave his debt. That's important. Hang on to that. This idea of releasing and forgiving the debt. But when the man left the king, so this person who was released, this person whose debt was forgiven, when that man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. his fellow servant fell down before him and begged for a little more time. Be patient with me and I will pay it, he pleaded. The exact position where this guy had found himself before, where he was released and where he was forgiven. But his response is completely different. His response was his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested, put into prison until the debt could be paid in full. Well, the king hears about that. He calls him in and he says this to him, you evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. And then he poses this very pointed question. And I want everyone lean into this because this is for you. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you? I want you to think about this for a second. Shouldn't you have mercy on, and put a blank there, instead of fellow servant, make that a blank. And I want everyone who's listening to that person who you need to forgive, I want you to put their name there. And the question is this, shouldn't you have mercy on just as you have been forgiven? Just as God has forgiven you, shouldn't you have mercy on that person that you need to forgive? These are life-giving words. This is a way of life that God calls you to live your life from. Not only is it better for your mental health, your emotional health, your physical health, this is just a better way to live. This is life-giving. Forgiveness is a choice. You have a choice to make, and you need to choose to forgive. Forgiveness isn't always fair, but it's always what is best. Forgiveness always comes with a cost. It came at a cost for you to have forgiveness with God, and it will come at a cost of your pride. It's going to have to cost you to put humility there. It's going to have to cost you to go through the process of forgiveness because forgiveness really is a process. And here's the way the Apostle Paul put it this way, make allowance for each other's faults, meaning know you are going to be offended. Paul was calling other Christ followers to live from this posture of forgiveness. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you, not just the people that you love, not just the people that you like, not just the people that you're friends with. The scripture says anyone. Who offends you. And then here's how we're to forgive them. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. You're called, and I'm called to forgive others. Why? Because forgiveness isn't always fair. It wasn't fair for Jesus to leave heaven and come to earth. It wasn't fair for him to be punished for my sin. But it was best. It was best for me, and it's what's best for you. So here's the next step. Here's a step that every Christ follower needs to take. I need to choose forgiveness. You need to choose forgiveness. So here's what I'm asking you to do. This week, on a daily basis, this week, on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, on this week, will you daily ask God to help me to forgive the person who has hurt me? Will you start the process with God? Maybe you're not saying anything to that person, but you're starting the process to God. And you're saying, God, help me today to forgive. Help me today to live a life of forgiveness. Here's what I want you to do. I want everybody out there that's listening, right? I want you to clench your fists. Please, will you do that right now? I know some of you don't like participation, but participate with me right now. Clench your fists as hard as you can. You got that? You're clenching your fists. You've got it hard. Now, I want you to envision in your mind, inside your fist, I want you to envision that person that you need to release, that person that you need to forgive. Do you feel the tension? Do you feel that in your knuckles? Do you feel that tightening? I want you to do this with me. Do that. You got it? Okay, here, on three, we're going to release them. One, two, three, forgive and release that person. Do you feel the difference in your hand? Do you feel the tension going away? The same thing will happen to you if you will forgive and live a life of forgiveness. So, Father, we're asking that you would help us to bring our life into alignment in the way that you have called us to live, and live from a life of forgiveness. We need your help. We can't do this in and of ourselves. So please help us start today. We pray this in your name. Amen.